William Penn, who became the first hero of American liberty, was born in 1644 in London. His father was a naval admiral who had good personal relationships with the Stuart kings and even served under Oliver Cromwell for a time. William Penn's mother did most of the child rearing. From an early age, he was interested in religion and heard a talk by a Quaker, Thomas Lowe, which excited his interest. He was impressed by the simplicity and directness of the Quaker approach and their rejection of meaningless ceremony and creeds. When he went to Oxford University, William studied classics but became something of a rebel by defying Anglican traditions, such as attendance at chapel, and siding with humanist scholars. He was expelled. His parents sent him to France, where he studied with humanist Moïse Amourat, who supported religious toleration. Back in England in 1664, William studied law and learned more about civil liberties. He then served with his father as a personal assistant and courier, and thus became known to King Charles II and the Duke of York. He resumed his contact with Quakers and was arrested along with others because Quaker meetings were illegal. He insisted on being treated like the others, even though the authorities wanted to release him as an aristocrat. His legal skills came in handy as he prepared a defence. His father disowned him, and he lived among the Quakers. He began writing pamphlets to help the cause. He married Guilina Springett, a Quaker, in 1672, and they had seven children, four of whom died in infancy. William Penn was imprisoned in the Tower of London for attacking the Catholic Anglican doctrine of the Trinity, and when asked to recant, declared that he owed his conscience to no mortal man. He wrote extensively while imprisoned, including his most well-known work, No Cross, No Crown, a plea for religious toleration. After his release, he used his skills to help Quakers, including himself, who were arrested under the Conventicle Act for expressing nonconformist views, and the jury acquitted all the defendants. The Lord Mayor locked up the jury, and this led to a famous legal precedent whereby the Chief Justice and his associates ruled that juries could not be coerced or punished for their verdicts. Convinced that religious toleration could not be achieved in England, William Penn went to the King and asked for a charter enabling him to establish an American colony. The King agreed, possibly because he owed a debt to Penn's father, and the area was named Pennsylvania. William sailed to America in 1682 and founded Philadelphia with other friends. He developed a legal basis for a free society in which the rights of individuals would be respected. He became governor and worked with a council of 72 which proposed legislation, and a general assembly of 500 which approved or rejected it. Members were elected for three-year terms. The Holy Experiment, as Penn called it, ensured secure private property, free enterprise, free press, trial by jury, and religious toleration. The death penalty was reserved for murder and treason, whereas in England it applied to over 200 crimes. In contrast, the Puritan colonies despised liberty and made political dissent a crime. Quakers were always at risk of assault or death if they ventured to New England. Perhaps William Penn is most well known for his treaty with the Indians of Pennsylvania. He learned Indian dialects and acquired land through peaceful exchange. His famous Great Treaty with the Indians was hailed by Voltaire as, quote, the only treaty between those people, Indians and Christians, that was not ratified by oath and that was never infringed, end of quote. The good intentions of the treaty were, however, undermined to some extent by later colonists who sought to remove Indian control of remaining land. Back in England, William Penn defended many Quakers and others threatened with persecution for their beliefs. He persuaded King James II to proclaim the Acts of Indulgence, which released more than 1,000 Quakers. He fell out of favour when William of Orange became king, and his fortunes began to decline. He was cheated out of money and also out of control of Pennsylvania. By the time he died in 1718, Pennsylvania had ceased to be dominated by Quakers, but it remained a melting pot of immigrants from Europe who had been persecuted at home, and Philadelphia became a major trading port and an intellectual centre. Penn's legacy was enormous, as he showed the value of a free society and the capacity of people from different races and religions to live in harmony. Here is a sample of something he wrote in 1699, quote, "Love silence, even in the mind. Much speaking, as much thinking, spends. And in many thoughts, as well as words, there is sin. True silence is the rest of the mind, and is to the spirit what sleep is to the body, nourishment and refreshment." End of quote. Let me close with a favourite story of William Penn. It is said that he asked George Fox's advice on whether he should continue to wear his sword when among Quakers, as he had done in fashionable society. George Fox is reported as saying, "I advise thee to wear it as long as thou canst." Not long after this, they met again, and William had no sword. He told Fox, "I have taken thy advice. I wore it as long as I could." This is David Purnell, and I want to acknowledge material prepared by Jim Powell as I put together this talk.